Facts 34. Mm-hmm. Here we are.
Yeah.
I'm Eric, you're Mike.
Yes.
Let's do the damn thing.
Let's do it. What do you think about breakfast today, Eric?
It's pretty damn good.
Mm-hmm.
Mike brought Taco Bell breakfast.
Taco Bell breakfast. We got the breakfast burrito. Mm-hmm. I chose bacon.
I had it yesterday. I went with sausage.
Really? Yeah. What do you like better?
Bacon, I like.
Yeah. And then I got like a, I think it was called a, some kind of, I don't know, like a sandwich. It's like a,
sausage. It's a sausage taco is what it is.
No, no, that's not the taco. That was called the, some kind of sandwich. Flatbread sandwich.
Okay.
Yeah, that,
because. Oh, yeah, this is not a taco.
The taco is in there, though, and I got a bacon taco for you, too.
Yeah, this is like a, it's like a sausage and a taco shell folded over each other.
Yeah, it's like
cheese.
A pita type thing.
Yeah, it's good.
Maybe a gordita shell, wouldn't you say?
Yeah, that's a gordita shell. It's pretty good, man. I mean, I don't know why they haven't been doing breakfast for a while, you know?
I guess
gotta open the store earlier.
Oh, yeah. And then you gotta hire more people.
And they're right? Open so late, too.
More jobs.
They're only closed for about 5 hours now.
More shitty low-paying jobs for people.
Well, hey, jobs are jobs, right? Better than nothing.
Nah, it's time the world unionizes. Fuck this shit. Everybody should just get together and say, we're putting an end to it.
You know, I saw a thing online, and I think it was somewhat biased. I don't completely trust the facts in it. I think maybe they were skewed.
I mean, just
but they were explaining
benefits.
That if you raised
family.
So many people, like the example they used was Walmart.
Okay.
A lot of people at Walmart, I think 15% of people who work at Walmart get food stamps. So essentially, the government is paying to subsidize Walmart's employees because Walmart won't pay them enough.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. But, and I, again, because they, some of the figures they used were for the whole country and some were just for Ohio in this video, so I think that might have skewed the data somewhat. I'd have to watch it again and really keep track.
Yeah.
But they were saying raising, the workers' salaries high enough where, not salaries, it's an hourly wage, high enough where they wouldn't qualify for food stamps anymore, would only raise the cost of goods, assuming they would then pass that price, you know.
Yeah.
Down by raising the cost. Would only raise. The example they used was a box of Kraft macaroni and cheese. Raising from 68 cents to 69 cents. So it would only.
So everything's going to go up and we're just going to. It's
it would
a cycle.
Be, but it would be a negligible increase. You know? Right.
And then gas is going to go up. Everything will go
up. It would be
up.
Something I like 1.5%, or I read somewhere else said like maybe up to 3%, but it wouldn't.
How are we going to fix this problem?
But the
dude?
Issue is.
I mean,
here's
it's
the thing.
Retarded. You can't raise a family on this kind of money. You can't.
Yeah, I don't know what the issue is. I'm not. That's not my area of expertise.
One person
I,
can't I'm good even at dick survive.
Joke. I'm good at dick jokes.
We need to evolve.
Facts about time zones is what I like to do.
We need to evolve, man, and start solving this shit.
You know, I could tell a great intellectually crafted dark dick joke.
Right.
And I could tell you how time zones were created.
Yeah.
Like, those are the two things I'm good at. I don't know how to fix this shit.
What am I good at?
You bring me Taco Bell breakfast, which is much appreciated. Our music this week was Very Ape by Nirvana, written by Kurt Cobain off of 1994's In Utero.
Hey.
One of my favorite albums, one of my favorite songs from that album. I think it's a lesser-known Nirvana song if you've only heard the stuff on the radio, you know. It's an album cut, a deep cut, if you will. It's quick, it's 2 minutes, it's ba-na-na-ba-ba-na-na. You know, it's really everything I love about that album, compressed. I chose that, of course, because first I love Nirvana, but yesterday, April 5th, was the 20th anniversary of Kurt Cobain's, the whole shotgun in his mouth thing. So that...
Oh, so he really did shoot himself.
Yeah, no one thinks... Well, people think he didn't, but those people are wrong.
No, I got into a fight with Terry.
What does she think?
She said he shot himself.
Yeah, he did. Of course he did.
Okay. If you say it, I believe it.
Yeah.
But I thought he had a mixture of pills and alcohol, and that's how he passed away.
No, you didn't know that Kurt Cobain shot himself? How did you not know that?
Maybe I was just in denial, because I took that hard when I was a kid.
Yeah, I would imagine, man.
I really liked him. You know, it was,
hey,
like
he's great.
My favorite band was Nirvana.
Yeah.
It was my band. The only kind of shirts I wore were Nirvana shirts. And then, and Stone Temple Pilots, I'm sorry.
Yeah, Nirvana, yeah.
And I had one Smashing Pumpkins. But anyway.
Well, Smashing Pumpkins are great, too.
Yeah, they are. But, I took it bad.
Okay, well, I'm glad you're over it now.
And maybe people just told me, oh, he did pills to soften the blow because they...
Well, he shot himself up with a lot of heroin before he put the shotgun in his mouth. So it was...
a lot of people don't like Courtney Love.
Like, the heroin probably would have killed him anyway, even without the shotgun. But he had tried to overdose a month before, and Courtney Love revived him. So I think that's why this time he said, well, I'll throw a shotgun in there, too. But yeah, no, so he did. He did also have heroin in his... I mean, there was a needle right next to him. Not still in his arm, but it was over there. He put it away first. He had time to do that. There's a lot of conspiracy theories, a lot of nonsense, saying that someone killed him and it was covered up to make it look like a suicide. But
why would they kill him, man?
It's bullshit. No intelligent person believes that. And also they're going to be inducted in the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame on April 10th, I think it's the ceremony.
All right.
So, yeah.
Do you like the Foo Fighters?
I do. I love the Foo Fighters.
They're cool.
They are what they are.
Yeah, exactly. But I'm tired of people that are saying they're better than Nirvana.
Oh, well, that's ridiculous.
They say that, you know, I just want to... The shit like that makes me want to hate Dave Grohl. And really, you should like him.
Dave Grohl's great. Fighters have a very long career of kind of similar, you know... You know what to expect from the Foo Fighters.
Yeah.
It's going to be good. It's not going to be fantastic.
Right.
It's better than mediocre, I think.
It's rock quality, and roll.
A lot of quality, very similar output. But no, I do like the Foo Fighters. I think their best album still is probably the first one.
Oh, yeah.
Where Dave Grohl played all the instruments. Did you know that about the first Foo Fighters album?
No.
Dave Grohl, yeah. It wasn't really a band yet. Dave Grohl played every instrument on the first Foo Fighters record. And then The Color and the Shape, the second album, was the first one with a band playing. It's probably the next best. And then it's kind of been... back and forth, up and down since then, about the same level of output. But no, I do enjoy the Foo Fighters.
Hey, what do you think of this pop, this delicious pop?
You didn't mention the pop. What's it called? Sangria Blast?
Like Sangria something from Taco Bell.
It's very good. It's a lot of black cherry.
I wonder if
you
could see the name on the internet or something, so we could tell them the right name. But it's one of those, like, remember Baja Blast?
Baja Blast is great.
Taco Bell exclusive.
Stores, by the way.
Are they?
After, what, 10 years of it being just in Taco Bell?
It was Taco Bell exclusive for a long time.
Mountain Dew Sangria Blast, it's called.
Yeah, and this is probably going to be Taco Bell exclusive for a while, huh?
It's pretty good. It tastes like black cherry. It does kind of taste like sangria, though. So it's...
Yeah, it's pretty damn good. It was either this, and they have, like, an apple pop. Did you see that?
No, I didn't see that.
I almost got the apple pop, because I never had apple pop before.
No, when I went to Taco Bell breakfast yesterday, I just got orange juice.
Yeah, but it was expensive like for oranges.
I felt like slamming.
How big
the
of a drink do they get?
Oh, God, it's probably... I wish I hadn't taken the garbage out because of all the cum. But I'd show you the orange juice thing.
How many ounces do you think?
8, maybe 12.
Oh, my God, for $1.99. This is $1.69. Look how much
that's
pop.
That's an enormous thing of pop. Yeah,
hey, what do you mean there was semen in your trash?
I masturbate a lot. So the trash was overflowing with toilet paper, like this. Full of semen. So I said, oh, I don't want Mike seeing that. I don't want Mike even knowing about that. So I threw the garbage away the other day.
Last week, I saw all the hanging off the sides of toilet paper. I just pushed it down to make more room for more trash with my hands.
I would not put your hand in my trash. No, it's full of semen.
Okay, well, note to self for the future.
Yeah, when I have a day off and Brady's not home, I'm just in here all day. Just
why don't you just wait for her and give her the...
Babies come from that. Also, right. Then I have to give her an orgasm for this pressure on me.
Can't you go get birth control?
She's on birth control.
No, you.
No, I could wear a condom, but fuck that.
What do you mean, fuck that? I think you could go get a shot.
You can't get a shot. No, there's no male shot you can get. They've been working on that for a long time. It doesn't exist. That's not a thing.
Why don't you get your tubes tied?
Okay, it's called a vasectomy when a man does it. And I would like to have children someday. So that's not...
It can
not
be reversed.
It can be, but you shouldn't think of it as a reversible procedure because it can't always be 100% reversed every time. What'd you say? Reversible knot? Is that what you just said?
Yeah, they tie it in a knot.
Okay, I'm aware that it can be reversed, but it's...
Or you could get it clipped and you're good forever, I think. That it won't happen.
It's a lot... Clipped what? Like a dog?
Yeah, my buddy's, this is true, my one buddy
for fuck's sake.
Had his, like, tied in a knot.
His testicles.
Yeah. And, they... No, I'm serious.
All
and
right.
It got loose, like some of the cum got through the passageway.
I don't believe
got
it.
Got her pregnant. So then...
None of this
he had
none of this happened.
So then he went back and got it clipped. They don't even put you to sleep for that. Did you know that?
They don't because they don't do it. It's not a process.
They do. You're wrong. I'm right this time.
Oh, for fuck's sake.
They clip your nuts. Why are you... They leave them on. They just clip the string, the vas deferens, I think it's called. Or is that the sac hole that touches your ball? That, like, squirmy thing that holds all
something down there is called the vas deferens.
I thought it was a long stringy exactly. things that hold your nuts to
look,
your body.
Look, man.
But they cut those. So then the cum can't travel from your balls into the...
That's what a vasectomy is.
That's what I'm talking about.
You made it sound like they put a rubber band around it, like when they castrate a bull or a dog.
No, I just said they clip you, and I meant it's a vasectomy. That's all. I'm going to have one.
But the story about your friend's nuts getting twisted and the
Ew,
cum leaking out, that didn't
like
happen.
Bit this already.
That didn't happen.
Yeah, it did.
His nuts were twisted around like
they,
a knot.
Yeah, they tie your nuts in a knot.
And then the cum leaked out of his nut knot.
Somehow, yeah.
And got a bitch pregnant.
Yeah, his wife.
None of that is true.
Yeah, it is.
None of that is... That doesn't make any sense. Where did they tie his nuts in a knot? In the doctor's office?
Yeah.
And then he went home?
It's a procedure.
Mm-hmm. You're a fucking asshole.
It's true. He told me about it.
You're a fucking cunt.
They spread his legs. He said they tie him down. They cut open your sack. They get in there. Tie a little knot.
I'm not sure exactly how a vasectomy.
Well, I'll look it up. I'll do that fact next week. Okay. Don't even bother doing
it. Hey, speaking of shit you said you would do last week, I want to clear this now.
Oh, what did I say?
You said you would study how international shipping works.
Oh, guess what?
What?
Go ahead. Go ahead.
No, go ahead. Are you going to... Do you have something for me?
Yeah.
Oh, good. Is it one of your facts? Because we can, it can
Terry
wait.
And I have been selling stuff on Amazon that we have. I sold a video game, a rare one from PS1, Japanese game, $119.
Mm, nice. That's pretty good.
Yeah. And somebody overseas in Australia bought one of our stuff.
Okay. Well, how does that work then?
Well, Terry went to the post office in Howland, but they don't
You couldn't do it for her?
They don't do international shipping. I'm busy. I work.
You're already going to the post office. It's like when Brittany buys something from Walmart, and then she won't take it back to Walmart to return it, because you don't have time to get to Walmart. She works at Walmart! You're there every fucking day! It sits here for months! Oh, I'll get around to it. Yo, whoa, when are you going to be at Walmart again? Every fucking day! Oh, I don't feel like it.
Yeah.
Because I just got off of work.
Exactly.
Oh, so you'd rather go out there on just a separate trip where you can just wait around for 15 minutes after work and do it.
Don't you
I'm tired. I want to go home. You're at Walmart every fucking day. Every day. Take it back.
So
you made her go to the post office even though you're there every day.
Yeah.
Well, not on Sundays, obviously.
Right.
Sundays you're here.
And to be honest, it has to go through customs or something.
Mm-hmm.
And they couldn't do it at the Howland one. They could do it at the annex. And she did all the work, so I really don't know. True story. So you'd have to ask her how shipping works. Like, I'm a carrier.
Well, I'd call
all I
her.
Do is deliver this.
I'd call her, but she might pretend to be Momoko.
No, and that was awkward. She'll be all right.
Well, the phone's not set up. We're not calling anyone.
Okay.
It made an odd...
Next week.
Like, we sounded like we were in a tunnel.
Next time.
Now maybe you ask her and you present it next week like you said you were going to do this week.
It just seems like a lot of work for me.
Yeah, because you have to prepare for the show. Do you understand?
Yeah.
Okay.
I'll be prepared. And I will get to the bottom of that. Because you know why, Eric?
What?
I'm going to be the best carrier I can be.
Okay.
And I got to learn about this stuff. I got to quit just delivering it and learn every process of shipping. From the creation of a stamp all the way to when it goes into the trash. I want to learn every single process.
All right. Well, I'm glad you're interested in your job. That's cool.
It is. It's the best job I've ever... It's the most interesting, fun, challenging thing I've ever done.
That's profoundly sad. Let's get to our first... We have an email. I'd like to get to the email.
Okay. Never mind.
It's from Jess Polanco. She's not happy with him.
With me?
Yeah. The email's entitled, Ahoy Hoy. Hi, boys. Sorry to start like this, but I'm mad.
Hey, cutie. How you doing, honey?
Mike, don't make things awkward as all shit by implying I'm some creeper on Eric. Not cool, man. Not cool.
Well, she kind of is.
I am just an enthusiastic Australian who loves the show. Don't do that again. It pissed me off. I'm nice, not creepy. Eric, I'm sorry Mike had to do that. I was mortified. I was pretty mortified, too.
I'm not saying she's creepy. I'm just saying she might have a crush on you.
She's a fan of the show, and I think you owe both me and Jess Polanco an apology, which I would like to hear from you now.
Okay, I'm sorry. Sure.
I don't know how sincere that was.
I'm sorry, Jessica. I'm sorry, Eric, for, you know, for you taking things the wrong way.
You took things the wrong way.
Well, when somebody says...
So now you owe an original apology and an apology for the backhanded apology. So I'd like you to apologize twice now before we continue.
I'd like to make a double apology with all sincerity from my heart to the both of you.
Okay.
For the way you, you know, misinterpreted.
Okay, once again. You now owe four apologies.
Okay, I owe...
One for the initial apology, one for the backhanded apology, and one, two for the sarcastic double apology.
Agreed.
So, apologize four times now.
I'd like to give you guys four sincere apologies, you know, for the things I've said and for the things that I shouldn't have said.
Okay, perfect. Stop now.
Thank you.
So we can move on.
Thank you.
I hate to correct you, Eric, but tigers are not in Africa. I hate to correct you, Jess, but Mike said that, not me.
What? What did she say? They're not in Africa?
Yeah, there are no tigers in Africa. You said, yes, not me, you said there were tigers in Africa.
There are.
There aren't.
Bullshit.
At some point, probably around 2 million years ago, one offshoot of Felidae migrated east towards Asia, and those cats evolved into orange, black, and white striped beasts we know today. Once established in Asia, however, tigers never returned to Africa, although scientists aren't exactly sure why. And there's a link. It says no tigers in Africa, so that's called a source, Mike. I know you don't know what that is. Remember when you stole that bit from that radio station in Duluth? If you had said at the end of the bit, here's where I took it from, that would be a source.
Oh! Tigers are in India!
Yeah, dumbass. That's where tigers are from.
In, like, China and stuff, right?
Asia. They're Asian. Tigers are Asian.
India's considered Asia, right?
Yes.
But they don't have Chinese eyes. How could they be Asian?
I knew you were going to say Chinese eyes. I thought you were going to say chinky eyes, so thank you.
Oh, that's racist, Derek.
Asia's a big continent. That's like, there's East Asian, West Asian, South Asian.
Mm.
So.
India should be their own thing.
It's a subcontinent.
Yeah.
It came up and
like
it pushed into Asia.
Like their own classification, because they're not Asian. Asian, you know, you think of doom, boom, boom, boom.
They are Asian, though, technically.
I know, it's weird, because they don't do anything that chinkies do.
Okay, we said chinky. So, now, despite the fact that Mike pissed me off, I skipped ahead. Australia doesn't have natural wild cats. We asked if there were any. You thought that maybe there were tigers in Australia, I remember.
I think they have lynx, don't they?
Australia doesn't have natural wild cats. There's plenty of speculation and rumor of a phantom big cat in Melbourne, but I have never seen it. We have foxes and snakes and plethora of other poisonous creeps to keep us busy. Now, despite the fact that Mike pissed me off a little, he made up for it with that Terry Momoko fail. Coffee was spat all over my desk, LOL.
Oh.
Here's the requested Tasmanian devil / tiger stuff. We asked you about Tasmanian devils and tigers. I don't remember that. Tasmanian devils are the largest carnivorous marsupials in the world. The animals are dog-sized with a stocky and muscular build. They can reach 30 inches in length and weigh up to 26 pounds. A Tasmanian devil's large head and neck allow it to generate one of the strongest bites per unit per body mass per generate one of the strongest bites per unit body mass of any land predator. 12,000 pounds per square inch.
No shit!
And their jaws are strong enough to gnaw through metal traps.
Wow.
Tasmanian tiger is to Australia what the Sasquatch is to North America. However, the Tasmanian tiger is in fact a real animal, and the Sasquatch, Mike, is a mythical creature. Experts more commonly refer to it as a thylacine. That word sounds familiar. It's because it's also the root of Thylacoleo, the marsupial lion, which vanished from Australia about 40,000 years ago. The Tasmanian tiger's closest living relative is the banded anteater. The last known wild Tasmanian tiger was killed by a farmer called Wilf Batty when he shot it outside his hen house in 1930. The last living captive tiger died in 1936 in Hobart. Hope you like the facts, Mike. Always happy to help. Glad you're both back in fine form. Jessica Polanco, and then she has her home address so you can mail her a sticker.
Cool.
So maybe instead of making your girlfriend do that, maybe you can handle that process.
Well, Terry does the shipping.
And then you get back to me, right? Yeah. About how international shipping works, like you said you would
last
week.
Well, here's the problem, Eric. Can I tell you something?
Go.
This is the problem with this country.
Okay.
Terry handles the shipping. That's not my job.
All right.
You know, but...
What does this have to do with the country?
Everybody is push, push, push. Rush, rush, rush. Do this, do that. You got to do 10 things at once. Don't you want me to do them the right way and safely?
I want you to do your part and bring content to the show. And notice you don't have anything.
I'm not. No.
You
I'm
usually
not,
have a folder.
Don't take this wrong. Oh, I have it right.
Oh, okay. There it is.
Don't take this the wrong way. I'm not talking to you. I'm not. No. You're a good boss. Thank you.
I'm not your boss.
You can if you
want
to be.
I don't want to be your boss. I do not want you under me. I don't want to have authority over you.
Why?
I don't want to be responsible for what you do.
This but I don't want to take. Sometimes.
And also, Dave is not our boss.
Better just to say, you know, if I get in trouble. It's easier for me to say, talk to my boss.
Okay.
That's why I like having you as a boss.
I'm not your boss, so I want to make that clear.
Dave can be my boss.
Dave is not our boss either.
Boss.
This isn't a job.
Somebody has to be my boss.
There is no boss. You're responsible for your own actions.
No, fine. Your dad's my boss.
If that's what you want to do.
Yeah.
Somebody's all right. We got corrections still to get through.
Thank you.
Mike said last week they made another version of Punch-Out with different character names. That's not true.
Yeah, it is.
No, it's not.
They changed Mr. Sandman.
They did. They changed a couple names. They changed Vodka Drunkinsky to Soda Popinski.
Yeah.
And in the non-Mike Tyson version of Punch-Out, he was swapped out for final boss Mr. Dream.
Yeah.
It was also a sequel to Punch-Out. It was developed as Mike Tyson's Intergalactic Power Punch.
What?
It was developed, the game was that Mike Tyson would fight aliens.
No.
But right when they was about to come out, Mike Tyson raped that chick. So they changed the character name to Mark Tyler. He still looks like Mike Tyson.
Really?
They changed it to Mark Tyler, and then apparently the game was terrible.
Mike Tyson, Mark Tyler.
Mark Tyler. The game was awful, so they didn't release it for another 2 years. And then it was released under the name Power Punch 2, despite there being no previous game titled Power Punch.
Huh.
I made a mistake when I was plugging my shows at Laughs Inc., rather. I referred to the headline comedian as Doug Stout. His name is Ryan Stout. There is no Doug Stout, as far as I know. I got Stout right, though. I did not fuck up his name that weekend as I was hosting. I did a great job hosting. Not to pat myself on the back, but I did pretty good. And he was hilarious. Ryan Stout's very funny if you see him on TV or what have you. Well, he's on Chelsea Lately a lot, forever
wow.
long. However long that show continues.
Chelsea Lately has some nice legs.
Okay.
Chelsea Handler, you ever notice that?
I don't watch the show. I don't find her funny.
No, she's not, but okay. She's quite the butterface. Mm.
Well, okay. Ryan Stout's very funny, though. You should check him out. Very cerebral, dark stuff. He was a great guy. Clarifications. We talked about feral caramels in Australia. Just messaged it in her Australia facts. Camels were imported into Australia from India in the 19th century for transportation and construction during the colonization of Western and Central Australia. So they're not native to Australia. They're a foreign species. I didn't think they were native, but I was wondering how camels got there. That's how they got there. Yeah. And as of 2013, the feral camel population has been re-estimated. It's less than they thought. It's only about 300,000, not 750,000, as Jess stated.
300,000 is still a lot.
It's still a lot. It is still the largest feral camel population in the world. Now, we had a long...
feed a lot of people with that shit.
Well, they do. They do actually use some of them for meat. Some they just kill. No, if you buy camel meat, you're getting it from Australia.
I wanted to bring this up to you. Thank God you said that. You know Mickey's Army Navy and Warren?
Mm-hmm.
Now they, like, wiped out a part of the store, and it's a beef jerky shop.
Oh, nice. They have weird jerky, like camel and stuff?
Weird jerkies. They have alligator jerky.
I've had gator jerky before.
Really?
Yeah.
And
ostrich jerky I've had.
They had another that
was... deer jerky, that goes without saying. That's fairly normal.
They had, like, all the normal, you know, bison or buffalo deer, blah, blah, blah. But there was something else besides alligator that made me want to buy it just...
what, like, was it?
See if anybody... I can't
I'm glad remember. You were taking notes.
Damn it! It was so gross looking.
Clarification, when Deuce.
I remember, I'll say it.
The title of Roger Moore's last Bond film was A View to a Kill. Not From a View to a Kill, as Mike suggested.
No. I said...
you said From a View to a Kill.
No.
Which doesn't make sense.
I said A View to a Kill.
No, you said From a View to a Kill. I don't know what that
means. I never said From.
I thought it was just A View to Kill. But view it's, to a Kill. It was A View to a Kill. It was
that's Roger what I Moore's said.
Last Bond film.
Yes. With Christopher Walken and Grace Jones. Did you know that?
Is that the one with Chris Walken?
Yeah.
Yeah, okay.
Yep.
He throws a guy out of a blimp.
Yep.
Yeah. Mike insisted that he was not trespassing when he showed up uninvited during the recording of Facts Episode 31 with Joe McCormick because I didn't have a sign posted and I previously let him enter without knocking. That was his... okay. The Ohio Revised Code 2911.21 states that A, no person without privilege to do so shall do any of the following. And then one of the following is number 4, being on the land or premises of another, negligently fail or refuse to leave upon being notified by signage posted in a conspicuous place, or otherwise being notified to do so by the owner or occupant or the agent or servant of either. So no, I did not have a sign posted, but I, the occupant, did ask you to leave and you didn't. That's still trespassing. And the fact that you were allowed to walk in before is irrelevant to this specific scenario. So but, you were that was criminal trespassing. It's a fourth degree misdemeanor.
But back it up. In the beginning, you said prior.
No, I and said nothing about prior.
Yeah, yeah,
not,
yeah.
Not
started off the from code. The very beginning because
the code.
Yeah.
No person without privilege to do so shall do any of the following.
I had privilege to do so prior to that,
but not
day.
On this occasion.
But how
not
was on this I occasion. Supposed to know?
And you were notified.
I was not notified.
You were notified.
Not to leave until I was there.
By
though.
The occupant. That's me. I said leave now. You didn't leave. That's trespassing.
But if you listen, you go, I guess you could stay.
No,
you did say that. So
you need to bring donuts.
Yeah.
Frost Top Root Beer is made in Springfield, Ohio, and it's delicious. Try to find some if you can. Sassafras is banned by the FDA for mass consumption.
Mm-hmm.
But it's still available for use in microbrewing. So you and I can make some sassafras root beer, but like a company couldn't do it.
Wow.
Sarsaparilla,
would you even want to mess with that?
I think it takes a long time. It damages your liver over a long period of time. And if you have
so does alcohol, right?
Yeah, yeah.
And pills and stuff. And I take that stuff all the
it's
time.
It's not like the first time you have some sassafras root, it's going to kill you. It's if you do it over a long period of time, you know?
Yeah.
Like smoking. And I can't imagine it's any worth you than smoking. You smoke, don't you?
No, I quit.
Yeah.
A good 7 months now, brother.
All right, good for you.
Thank you.
Sarsaparilla was also originally made with sassafras root, and it's considered a root beer. You can still buy Sioux City Sarsaparilla is one.
Oh, yeah, yeah, you're you can, right.
It's a soft, it's the same thing as root beer, essentially.
Do they use it?
No, not anymore. All originally, right, good, they did just like it was originally used
I was going to say, I just did, well, I think we drank that on the show before.
You might have, yeah.
Maybe.
Okay, before you go into the facts, I want to give everyone a kitten update. I said my cat was in labor.
Was that what the picture was?
That's what the picture was.
It was in labor.
No, that was a picture of her nursing her kittens after
that's
the labor.
That's what I thought, because I couldn't kind of tell. I just saw a lot of fur, and I didn't want to scroll down. I said, this
yeah,
is
yeah.
gross me out.
No, we didn't take any pictures during the labor. Right. But I was there for all of it.
Yeah.
It was miraculous, let me tell you.
Did you have, like, the whole outfit on?
Outfit, I'm sorry?
Yeah, like, the scrubs with the little hat and everything. Like, come on, push, baby.
We were telling her push. Yeah, we were. She'll actually let Brittany brace her legs so she had something to push against for the final push to get the first baby out.
Really?
Yeah. Wow. So she went into labor around 4 o'clock.
4 in the morning or afternoon?
Afternoon. So it was about 5 hours after we wrapped up the show. Wow. There's 4 kittens. First one was a black cat. We named him Beast.
Wow.
So he looks like Beast from Beauty and the Beast.
Sweet.
But when Brittany said Beast, I thought she meant Hank McCoy. He also looks like Hank McCoy. But she specifically was Beast from Beauty and the Beast. And he's the only one without a plant name. We wanted a plant name theme. Second one's a little orange kitty named Peanut. He was originally Alfalfa because when he was born, all the gooey birth mess was making the back of his hair stick up like alfalfa.
That's kind of funny.
No, it's Peanut now because her parents are going to take him and they want to call him Peanut.
What color is he?
He's orange.
Oh.
He's a marmalade little kitty. Then 2 calicos, 2 good old girls. The other 2 are boys. Sunflower and Sassafras.
Wow.
And they're adorable.
What made you think of Sassafras was a pop that day?
No, I had already been thinking of Sassafras, so I wanted to give them all food names that started with an S, and that's not what happened. Because the mother cat is Sweet Pea, so I wanted to stick with
the theme.
With Sunflower and Sassafras. I wanted all plants and stuff.
You could have called the orange one Sunshine.
Yeah, there were options, you know.
And the black one...
The black one was rough coming up with a name for him.
It's black with an S. Spook.
That would have worked.
Spooky.
That would have worked.
I didn't mean to say spook.
That would have worked now that I think about it. But anyway, those are the names. Mike refused to look at the kittens because he's so afraid of being allergic to cats, he won't look at adorable fucking kittens.
I looked at them.
They're in the other room. They're suckling at the mama's teat. It's the cutest goddamn thing. Their little eyes are open now. They're 2 weeks old. They're so goddamn cute. I'm going to have to give them all away.
Congratulations.
At some point in the next 6 weeks. Well, not at some point. You know, in the next... You got 6 to 8 weeks, you give them away. If anyone wants a kitten, I don't know, come and get a hold of me. The orange one's spoken for. The black one, people are looking into it. If you want one of the little calicos, they're very cute.
Sassafras
is the runt. She's a little smaller than the other ones, but she's healthy. She's not sick. She's just smaller.
Yeah.
There's the runt. So, yeah, that's the kitten scenario, if anyone's wondering about that.
If I would go touch one right now, would the mom eat it?
No. I pick them up. I picked all of them up. Petted them.
Wow. At what age does...
We picked them up right away.
Why would you do that?
Not right away, but I'm saying...
Didn't you have
on the first
fear
day.
Of what we talked
no,
about
No, because I looked
show.
Into it, and I know it's not true. You said that. They'll eat them if they're dying or something, but you...
I thought you're not supposed to touch a kitten, man.
No. And if the mother's comfortable with you...
Oh.
It's all about the mother's relationship to you, because she's very comfortable with us. She let us. We were there the whole time during the birth.
Yeah.
Like I said, she pushed her legs off against
she knew
my girlfriend's hand to get the first baby out.
Yeah, all right.
And we were there the whole time.
Feed her, take care of her.
Yeah. I saved her goddamn life. She was out there in the
family.
Cold. Yeah. So she's cool with us being all around the babies, and it's good to actually handle the babies early so they get used to being around humans. Some people won't touch a kitten at all for the first 6 weeks.
You're a very intelligent person when it comes to cats.
And I love cats. I love animals. Some people won't touch a kitten at all the first 6 weeks, and if you do that, that fucks them up socially. They don't know how to act around people. So it's good to get in there. I've picked them all up. I've held them. They're very cute. It's nice to have kittens.
If they're yours, though, you don't be a stranger.
Yeah, not like a stray cat or anything like that.
Don't be a stranger handling cats, because then the cat's just going to get,
Yeah, so that is that. Let's jump into facts.
Good facts, man. Those were good already, and we didn't even get into it.
We haven't even started yet.
That was really interesting.
This is one I didn't get to last week. It would have went well with me talking about daylight savings time. I kind of grouped them together. We ran out of time. This is about time zones.
Oh.
How time zones originated, how time zones are separated and whatnot. So it's something I find very interesting. I hope you will, too. Now, how do you think, I'll pose a question, how do you think time zones were developed? When do you think time zones became an issue?
Yeah, time travelers.
No, but travel, travel's
that's
good.
That's exactly what I'm saying.
Okay, because you're it was the railroads.
Traveling, that's what I meant, Eric.
It's the railroads.
You didn't let me finish.
Okay, you said time travel, then you stopped talking.
Well, That's another name for traveling, and time is happening. So basically, when I travel here to your house, that's time traveling. It's just another name for traveling. Fancy.
Prior to the invention of railroads, local time was determined by the sun and differed from town to town. And then there's another issue there, actually. Like, the actual solar time and the apparent solar time can differ from as much as 15 minutes. When the sun is actually set in the sky and when it appears to be. So that's not even exact there, too.
Oh, right.
But
it's way ahead of us.
So that's how people just town to town, they'd have a sundial. And whenever the sun is that's noon.
Mm-hmm.
And that differs by about 4 minutes per degree of longitude. So, but that wasn't really an issue, because anyone at 4 minutes, by the time you get there, people weren't traveling that fast. But once we had railroads, it needed to be more specific. So you would know when a train is getting there, when a train is leaving. The first adoption of a standard time was by British railroad companies in 1847. And that was Greenwich Mean Time. And Greenwich Mean Time was actually developed in 1675 to help navigators determine longitude at sea. So Greenwich Mean Time even is before that. Now, railway time was the first adoption of a standard time in 1847. That was in Britain. All of Britain was under railway time. In the U.S., each railroad kept their own standard time based on the local time of their headquarters or main terminus. The first person to suggest multiple time zones was Charles F. Dowd in 1863. He wrote an 1870 proposal suggesting four time zones in the U.S., each 15 degrees of longitude wide, each an hour apart, centered on the Washington meridian. It was revised in 1872. The proposer was centered on 75 degrees east of the Greenwich meridian instead of the Washington meridian, and used geographic borders. For example, it went around the Appalachian Mountains. That proposal, however, was rejected. And in 1883, the U.S. railroads adopted a system proposed by William F. Allen, editor of the Traveler's Official Railway Guide. And that division of time zone was not as clean as the Dowd model. Borders ran through railway stations in major cities. For example, the border between the eastern and central time zones. See if you can make sense of this. The border between the eastern and central time zones ran through the cities of Detroit, Buffalo, Pittsburgh, Charleston, and Atlanta. Picture that fucking line. It ran through Detroit, jutted over to Buffalo, back through Pittsburgh, down to Charleston and Atlanta.
Yeah, that's how I pictured it, like a weird zigzag.
Now, the Standard Time Act of 1918 formally adopted standard time zones and daylight savings time. Now, worldwide time zones were first proposed by Italian mathematician Quirico Filopanti in 1858. However, it's not widely known until after his death. He published it in one of his books, but people kind of, not until after he died did they go back and be like, oh, he mentioned this before, this other guy. The man credited with inventing worldwide time zones, it's a Scottish-born Canadian engineer and inventor, Sir Sanford Fleming. He proposed it in 1876. He advocated his system at several international conferences. Fleming's proposed a universal times and 24 time zones, 15 degrees wide, each an hour apart, deviating from universal time. This was established at the 1884 International Meridian Conference. It established the Greenwich Meridian as international standard for 0 degrees longitude, established Greenwich Mean Time as Coordinated Universal Time, or UTC, but it did not establish time zones, as it considered the issue of time zones outside of its purview. The adoption of time zones as standard offsets of UTC occurred gradually until 1929. Most countries use standard offsets of an hour, so Greenwich Mean Time plus or minus this many hours. However, India, Iran, Afghanistan, Venezuela, Burma, Sri Lanka, the Marquesas, Central Australia, and the Canadian province of Newfoundland use half-hour offsets. Nepal and the Chatham Islands use 45-minute offsets, and Nepal didn't formally adopt it until 1986.
Figures Nepal would be so backwards.
India and China both use one national time zone, despite being large enough for several. China had five time zones prior to 1949.
And they just went to one?
They have one for the whole country. It would be the same time here as it is in California.
It's weird.
So the sun would set, in Western China at like in the winter, like noon.
And when does it come up? In the middle of the night?
Well, I don't know, actually, because I guess maybe if they took the middle... See, that's hard to say. I don't know what... Because it's 5 time zones, so I don't know which of the 5 they picked to be the one. Probably the one in the middle.
No matter what.
Because actually...
It's gonna be the people in the middle are probably going to get the best of the... you know...
Yeah.
And then on the other sides of the country, they're going to be fucked up somehow or somewhere.
Yeah. Well, usually time zones are actually skewed east... Or skewed west, rather, so that they get more sunlight. Is how that works.
But when you think about it, I mean, China's the one that's bankrolling our country, so they must be doing something right.
Well, the weird thing about Australia is they have because the it's an hour on the east, and then an hour after that on the west, and half hour in the middle, and then only the southeast does daylight savings time. So during daylight savings time in Australia, each 5 is 5 different times. Hmm. It would be like 12, 11:30, 11, 10:30, and 9.
I wonder what time something. It is right now in Australia.
I don't know. I would have to look it up. The Eastern time zone, by the way, the time we're under on the east coast of America, is officially, the title of that is UTC minus 5. So that's... I want, 5 hours behind.
If I could buy a phone card, like an international phone card, you think we can call Palenko sometime?
The headache of setting up phone calls, even to your girlfriend pretending to be your ex-girlfriend who didn't exist, is so complicated. I would not want to deal with calling an Australian.
I'm going to look into this, Jessica. Can you email us? Like, I'll look into buying the prepaid card.
They are so far behind us, though. I don't know exactly what it is.
Right.
But I'd imagine it's like midnight over there right now.
Right, just
and there's the international dateline, which I didn't even get into.
I don't know if you have a phone or if you have access to one, but if
I'm sure she has a phone.
You're interested in this, well,
she's Australian.
They're very backwards people. They're very.
She lives in Melbourne. It's a very large city.
It's probably like our Youngstown.
I'm sure Melbourne is larger than Youngstown. I'm fairly certain it's the largest city in Australia.
Yeah, which is about.
If not, it's the second. I'll look into that.
For just you know, a normal city for us. I mean, they're Australian, Eric. Come on. They're a bunch of hillbillies.
I'm going to look up the population of Melbourne. And you go ahead and do your fact.
They're not very advanced, Eric. They're hillbillies.
Do your fact. Do you have a fact to do? Okay.
Yeah, so Jessica, if you're interested, we'd love to talk to you.
It's okay. The second most popular city in Australia.
Right. The first is Sydney, brother, right?
Yeah, it's loading.
Yeah, there you go.
It's got to be Sydney. What else would it be? Responding. Go fuck yourself.
Okay. Did you enjoy that bacon or sausage better for breakfast?
The sausage, actually. I like sausage because it's hearty. Mm. Population of Melbourne is 4.25 million.
Yeah, that's a lot.
Okay, you compared it to Youngstown, but it has a population of 60,000 and dropping.
Group. Imagine that, you know, imagine all them people walking around the streets. Must be pretty, yeah. A lot of brain cells running around there, if you know what I mean.
So that's 4.25. Sydney is 4.6 million.
I thought you were going to say bacon you liked more than sausage.
I do like bacon, but it's hard to say, really. I like sausage, I think, is heartier. Bacon is good, but you got to eat a lot of bacon.
I did my...
I feel if a lot of times you go out for breakfast, 2 strips of bacon, 2 pieces of sausage, you're going to pick the sausage because that's more meat.
Why is breakfast food so expensive, like at Bob Evans? My gosh, Bob Evans is
particularly expensive.
Oh, my... They're an arm and a leg. Are you kidding me?
I guess. I mean, anytime you eat out, it's going to be a lot of money. Someone else is making the food for you.
You and Brittany could go to Waffle House, both get a dinner, probably under $15 and a drink.
Yeah.
You can't do that at Perkins.
I tell you what, we went to Cracker Barrel. We had a lot of food for like $22.
Really?
Cracker Barrel's one of that.
They have a thing. I think it's called a veggie plate or something. You could get 4 different things.
Yeah.
And it's under $10.
Oh, it was great. Nice atmosphere, too. They got that hillbilly store there.
They
buy old candy.
I always liked. In Sassafras, I think. Sarsaparilla or something like that.
Yeah, I'm sure they have some of that shit.
I've always liked Cracker Barrel. Sometimes the food's too bland, though. You need to spice it up and salt and pepper it. I think that's why a lot of old people like the place.
Well, it's a nice atmosphere. They got a the one they got a fireplace at the fucking one. The one on 46?
They do?
Yeah, a fucking fireplace, yeah. Alright, do you fact?
So I did mine on bacon.
Oh great, I love bacon.
The history of bacon.
Food facts are what really where you're at your best, I think.
I enjoy it.
Yeah.
The word bacon, I'm sorry,
okay,
was actually a Middle English term spelled B-A-C-O-U-N, and it was used to refer to pork in general, basically. But the term bacon comes from Germanic and French dialects. It derives from the French bako, B-A-K-O, and Old German bako, B-A-K-K-O, and an old Teutonic back, B-A-C-K-E, all which refer to the back.
That's where they get it from, the back of the
yes.
pig? Okay. I didn't know where on the pig the bacon came from.
Yep. There are breeds of pigs that are specifically bred and raised for the bacon, which is the Yorkshire and the Tamworth pig.
Well, I know there's a type of bacon called fatback.
Why? Is that maybe that's just the way it's cut. You think?
Well, I think it's like a fatter bacon.
Okay. The phrase, bring home the bacon,
mm-hmm.
comes from the 12th century when a church in Dunmow, England offered a side of bacon to any man who could swear before God and the congregation that he had not fought or quarreled with his wife for a year and a day. Any man that could bring home the bacon was highly respected in his community.
Well, that's interesting.
Yep. During the Roman era, according to food historians, the Romans ate a type of bacon which they called petasso, which was essentially domesticated pig meat boiled with figs, then browned and seasoned with pepper sauce. You know, that kind of sounds gross, boiling it, right?
I don't know. That's how it sounds
pig
good.
Pig meat boiled. Oh.
Well, it's not your thing. I'd try it.
Well, it says then browned and seasoned. So maybe they boiled it to get the fat off. With the figs, yeah. Get the flavor in there. Then maybe they seared it over open flames. Oh, that does sound
good. See, it does sounds good.
We should try doing something like this.
If you want to.
Yeah. I'll get a grill.
All right.
We'll cook over it with some charcoal.
I'd rather just have bacon.
Where we are.
Just make regular ass bacon.
But we'll grill it.
All right.
Over open flame. Mm-hmm. And then in the 1600s...
Part of the fun of bacon is that it cooks in its own fat, though.
Oh, yeah.
You know, if you grill it, the fat's going to drip down.
Imagine the flavor of the charcoal, though.
Mm. No. I'm not a big fan of charcoal.
We'll cook it.
I like to grill with propane.
Because of the cancerous stuff, or...?
No, I have trouble lighting charcoal.
I'll take care of that. We'll put it over the over tinfoil so it cooks in its own juice.
Oh, okay. See, you thought everything.
Yeah. Bacon, in the 1600s... A relatively easy to produce and cheap meat source became a staple for European peasants, and smoked bacon was considered the highest quality. In the 1700s, John Harris, an Englishman, is credited as the forefather of large-scale industrial bacon manufacturing. He opened a company in Wiltshire, which is still considered the bacon capital of the world. And in 1924... Let me just do this.
Yes, okay.
Oscar Mayer introduced...
A lot of work went into flipping that page over.
Pre-packaged, pre-sliced bacon to America. 1924.
Fantastic. One of the greatest things, you can put it in the, slice it off, drop it on the pan.
Let me give you a little quick bacon trivia. Bacon is one of the oldest meats in history, dating back to 1500 BC. In the 16th century.
Oldest meats?
Yeah.
Okay.
Peasants would proudly display... The small amount of bacon they could afford. Like, look at what I bought.
Yeah.
70% of all bacon in the U.S. is eaten at breakfast time.
Well, that makes sense.
Makes sense.
It's and then there's food. Just bacon cheeseburgers. I mean, you can have bacon whenever. Mm.
I bet you that number is probably shifting as time goes on.
Yeah, I mean, people add bacon in more meals. I bet you
10 years ago, before this bacon craze... That number was probably 85%.
Mm.
Now they're having chocolate-covered bacon.
That's really good.
Bacon on ice cream.
Have you had chocolate-covered bacon?
Dude, I had it at the Campfield Fair.
Yeah.
Horrible. You know why?
Why?
Bit into it. The bacon went...
Oh, no, you don't want that,
man. It wasn't crispy and cooked. Yeah, it was fucking raw.
The bacon, my dad made some.
Did he?
It's, he either made some or bought some. I don't remember. I think he made it.
With the thick cut bacon or...
It was good bacon. It's real. It's the salty and the sweet is real nice, but it's it fills you up, man.
Really,
it's hearty. You eat one strip of those things, and you're like, oh, I'm gonna lay down. But it's good. It's good as fuck.
I had to throw mine out. It was so gross.
Yeah, you don't want the bacon sliding out when you're biting it. That's ridiculous,
dude. You would. It's gross, and I hate throwing money away because I think it was like $2.
I'm sure it wasn't cheap.
More than 2 billion pounds of bacon is produced every year in the U.S. It's a lot of meat. And until the First World War, bacon fat was the cooking fat of choice in most U.S. households, where prepackaged pig lard became commonly available. Those are my facts, history of bacon.
Fantastic. Good job, Mike.
Thank you.
Well, you might not get to your second fact because I got a long one and we're running out of time.
That's all right. I'll save it.
I want to discuss this. This actually came up on that abortion of a show you did with Dave. The Scopes Monkey Trial, which he referred to as Scopes v. Monkey Trial, as if Monkey Trial was a human being's name.
Right.
But I've always been interested in the Scopes
Monkey Dave's Trial. Dave's a real idiot.
Dave's an asshole. I've always been interested in the Scopes Monkey Trial, but I didn't really know all the details of it. And I'd like to discuss it now. I'm sure people have heard of it. It's kind of a famous case in
the history of America. I'd like to hear about the real stuff, not the shit Dave was talking about.
The name of the case, it's a 1925 court case, the state of Tennessee versus John Thomas Scopes. Involves the Butler Act. Was a 1925 act in the state of Tennessee. State Representative John W. Butler introduced the bill, which prohibited teaching, and this is a direct quote from the bill, any theory that denies the story of the divine creation of man as taught in the Bible, and right. to teach instead that man is descended from a lower order of animals. It was an act passed to stop the teaching of evolution.
I agree.
Right. However, what do you mean you agree? What do you mean you agree?
I'm just agreeing.
You agree that that's what the act was for?
Sure.
Okay. However, the law wasn't really enforced. It was kind of passed. The governor signed it. Hey, it'll keep the religious people happy.
Right.
But no one actually stopped teaching evolution. As a matter of fact...
And they should have, because it was against the law.
Okay, well...
Right? Wasn't it against the law?
Yes, technically it was.
Why aren't people following the law?
Well, it's not around anymore. It's not a law anymore.
Okay.
The point is that the law wasn't really enforced. So the ACLU wanted to challenge the law. They agreed to defend anyone accused of teaching evolution in defiance of the Butler Act. And the trial was largely staged. People got together. They said, let's make this thing happen. Let's challenge the law. It was mostly to gather publicity for the small town of Dayton, Tennessee. Mm. Basically, the trial was going to happen somewhere. So they got together and said, let's do it here. John Scopes agreed to be charged, even though he later admitted he was unsure if he had actually taught evolution. He was a substitute teacher. The required textbook, though, interestingly enough, Civic Biology, had a chapter on evolution. So... They were required not to teach evolution, but the textbook they were required to use had a chapter on evolution.
That's fucked up.
So, John Scopes, because he was in the class for a day, he doesn't really remember if he taught that chapter or not. But that didn't come out till later. The point is, he agreed to be charged. He, in fact, urged students to testify against him at the grand jury.
What?
He was charged, nominally arrested, but never detained, and the $500 bail was paid for by the Baltimore Sun.
Oh.
The Baltimore Sun actually helped out with a lot of the defense's expenses, and famously, the trial was covered by H.L. Mencken of the Baltimore Sun. He's the man who coined the term monkey trial. It's also the first trial to be covered on the radio.
It was all a scam.
But, yeah, the whole thing was just a show to get people talking about the Butler Act. Now, the prosecution, the original prosecutors were Herbert Lee and Sue K. Hicks. They were brothers. Sue was a man. They were local attorneys. They're actually friends of Scopes. Other people involved in the prosecution were Dayton attorney Gordon McKenzie. Tom Stewart was the head of the prosecution. He was eventually a senator from Tennessee. But most famously, it attracted the attention of William Jennings Bryan. In fact, the leader of the World Fundamentalist Christian Association... And I'm sure I'm getting the name of that organization wrong. He went to William Jennings Bryan and said, be our counsel for this case. William Jennings Bryan, famously three-time presidential nominee for the Democratic Party, ran against William McKinley in 96 and 1900, and again against Taft in 1908. Lost all three times. He was a former Secretary of State for Woodrow Wilson. Resigned leading up into World War I because he was a pacifist. And he was an active opponent of evolution. Very strong against evolution. The defense was led by John R. Neal, a law school professor from Knoxville. He was the nominal head of the defense team. It was also an ACLU attorney, Arthur Garfield Hayes, international divorce lawyer Dudley Field Malone, and Clarence Darrow. Clarence Darrow joined the case when he heard of Bryan's involvement. Clarence Darrow, a famous agnostic, he was most known for being the defendant in the Leopold, not defendant, but the defending attorney in the Leopold and Loeb case.
He
defended Leopold and Loeb. And he got into the monkey trial.
Do you know, I heard of that trial before.
Leopold and Loeb, yeah.
What was that?
It was two rich kids, and they killed a guy just kind of to see if they could commit the perfect murder and get away with it. Darrow defended them.
Wow.
They did it. So I didn't look too much in the Leopold and Loeb case.
Right, I just meant I heard the name, and I can't remember what
that Yeah, that's about. What that's about. That was in the 20s also.
You remember that Lisa Loeb?
She's cute.
She sings Stay.
Yeah, she's really cute.
Boy, what a voice she had.
I've always said that I think a really cool threesome would be me, Lisa Loeb, circa the Stay video, and Lisa Loeb today. Because she's still hot, but she's hot in an older way now.
Right.
You know? You seen her lately?
No.
She still looks good.
Really?
Yeah, she looks real good.
I was just trying to think of two of them that I want to do. I'm thinking.
Also, any two women, as a matter of fact. You know what would be a great threesome? Me and any two women would be great. I'm
thinking me, Charlize Theron, Monica Bellucci.
Okay.
And what the hell, my girlfriend Terry.
All right, but that's not a threesome now. That's a foursome. And now you're just being greedy. Now, the ACLU's initial defense was to oppose the Butler Act on the grounds that it violated a teacher's individual rights and academic freedom and was unconstitutional. And they later, in the appeal, used the strategy...
I'm going to get so busted for saying that, dude.
Why?
Because I didn't say Terry first. I said Charlize Theron and Monica Bellucci.
Wait, it's a fantasy thing.
Yeah, but she... you know, I wanted to say Terry first. I should have said that first.
You could fuck any two women. Why would you mention one you're already fucking?
Because she's the best. She listens to
the show. I know she listens to the show. She called in last week pretending to be the ex-girlfriend that doesn't exist, remember? And you keep your weird sexual stuff, by the way. Speaking of the Momoko play, I'm sure that she's pretended to be Momoko when you fucked her. I'm sure of that. You don't even have to confirm or deny. I know that happened. I feel it in my heart.
She hates Momoko. She's jealous.
Is that what it
is? They're jealous of each other, dude. I don't want to talk about on air because she listens.
Yeah. There's no Momoko. I want to make that clear for everyone. Momoko does not exist. So the ACLU's initial defense, I said that already. The strategy changed during the trial to arguing that there was no conflict between biblical creation account and the teaching of evolution. They brought in 8 evolution experts to testify. However, only one was allowed to testify in person. The rest provided written accounts to be used in the appeal. The judge, John T. Ralston, was accused of being biased towards the prosecution throughout the trial. As a matter of fact, the defense never presented its case in front of the jury. Judge Ralston also instructed the jury not to focus on the merit of the law, but rather the violation of the act. But it was a show trial, essentially. The whole purpose of bringing the case to trial was...
Any publicity is good publicity.
Was to discuss the merit of the Butler Act. There was never any doubt whether or not Darrow taught evolution. And there was later because he didn't remember. But he agreed to be prosecuted. The whole point was, let's talk about this act. And he said, no, let's not. By the end of the trial... Darrow had moved on into attacking the literal interpretation of the Bible and attacking William Jennings Bryan's knowledge of the Bible and science.
Oh, wow.
The judge declared all testimony on the Bible to be irrelevant and should not be presented to the jury, which, again, had been excluded during the defense. At the end of the trial, with all of their experts thrown out, Darrow called Brian to the stand as an expert on the Bible. So he actually, this is unorthodox, he called the prosecuting attorney as a witness, as an expert witness on the Bible. So this is kind of the most famous aspect of the case, was Darrow's cross-examination of Brian. It occurred on the courthouse lawn due to both the heat inside and the number of spectators. Darrow questioned Brian on the historicity of the Bible, asking him questions about Genesis. He asked him the date of the flood. Brian responded that it was 4,273 years ago. Darrow then asked Brian if he knew that Chinese civilization had dated back 7,000 years. Brian responded that he did not know that. When asked if other religions mentioned a flood around the same time, Brian admitted that he did not know and said, quote, "The Christian religion has always been good enough for me. I never found it necessary to study any competing religion." Darrow responded to that by saying, "You insult every man of science and learning in the world because he does not believe in your fool religion." The prosecution objected to the questioning, claiming that Darrow's aim was to, quote, "cast ridicule on everyone who believes in the Bible." Darrow's response to that was, quote, "We have the purpose of preventing bigots and ignoramuses from controlling the education of the United States." Judge Ralston stopped the questioning after 2 hours, ruled the examination irrelevant to the case, and ordered it struck from the record. The jury was not present during the questioning anyway. The judge's decision denied Brian the opportunity to cross-examine Darrow, which is the whole reason he agreed to be examined in the first place. Darrow's purpose in cross-examining Brian was to demonstrate that belief in the Bible stories were not scientific and could not be used in teaching science. This is a quote from Darrow. "You insult every man..." I already wrote that. "Every man of science and learning..." But you know, I believe before I already said that shit. All right. I wrote this down yesterday.
I don't remember. Sorry. I think it's great so far.
Now, the cross-examination of Brian is what kind of turned public opinion against Brian, because the case was a victory for the fundamentalists. The judge declared Scopes guilty. He was fined $100, the equivalent of $1,345 today.
Ooh.
However, in the long run, it did turn public opinion against the fundamentalists.
Yeah.
The only time that Scopes spoke during the trial as defendant was after the fine was handed down. He said, "Your Honor, I feel that I've been convicted of violating an unjust statute. I will continue in the future, as I have in the past, to oppose this law in any way I can. Any other action would be in violation of my ideal of academic freedom. That is, to teach the truth is guaranteed in our Constitution of personal and religious freedom. I think the fine is unjust." The case was appealed to the Tennessee Supreme Court and overturned on a technicality, ruling that the jury should have set the fine amount, not the judge. The case was then dismissed. There was no retrial. They wanted them to declare the act unconstitutional. That never happened. William Jennings Bryan actually died in his sleep 5 days after the trial's conclusion at the age of 65. The case brought national attention to the evolution versus creationism debate, which was the whole point. And the Butler Act was repealed, but not until 1967. So that is the famous case of the Scopes monkey trial. We're out of time.
I think it's safe to say you are a evolutionist.
I believe in evolution because it's true, yes.
And I believe in both.
Both what?
Creationism and evolution.
No,
I do. I can believe in both if I want to.
If you want to be wrong, no one's saying you can't believe in something that's wrong.
Some people only believe this. Some people only believe that.
I believe in which there is evidence, which is revolution. There's mountains of evidence.
Here's my thing.
And I don't believe in
evidence for certain types of evolution, but not us.
What the fuck are you talking about?
Like, we didn't evolve.
Yeah, we did. From an ape-like ancestor.
A turd.
No one has ever claimed that humans have evolved from a turd.
Pretty much.
No one has ever
said
that.
You turn into a turd, right?
No, there's no turds.
Then you turn into a toad.
There's no turds.
Then you turn into an alligator.
There's no turds.
Then you turn into
a monkey. There's
no turds.
There's no turds. What you're describing now...
Then you turn into a Sasquatch. Then you turn into a man.
None of that stuff happens. What you just said is all horseshit.
In a way,
we evolved from a common ape-like ancestor.
But you got to come from something.
Yes.
What?
There was a big vat of primordial shit just lying around. Not a turd.
Where did that come
from? Ooze. Well, it arose from the Earth.
Where did the Earth come from?
From space dust.
Where did space dust come from?
The Big Bang.
Where did the Big Bang come from?
A singularity.
Where did the singularity
come from? It just was there.
How?
Where did God come from?
He was always there.
Well, where did he come from? Where did he come from, Mike? Huh? Where did he come from? Where did he come from?
Some things you just can't ask a question.
That's why I'm asking a question
because
right now.
Because our minds.
Where did he come from? Where did God come from?
Handle that.
Where did God come from?
Did you ever see the
Your Matrix? Mind can't handle science, which is why you have to explain it with fucking horseshit.
Did you ever see The Matrix?
Did I ever see The Matrix?
Yeah.
Yes.
Some things.
What the fuck does that have to do with anything? I've seen it was a good movie.
We're gonna find
the special effects were impressive.
We will learn someday because our minds can't handle that knowledge right now, Eric. Our minds are this big.
Your tiny mind can't handle the knowledge of science.
Let's just say my brain is this big.
Your brain is small. Your brain is about the size of a grapefruit, which I believe you've mentioned on the show before.
Okay.
So it's not that. It's not even that big.
Or let's even say mine's as big as a grape.
Your might be smaller than that.
A raisin. Is it safe to say?
I don't know. I think you're an idiot. I know that. I know you're a fucking idiot. If you
inject this raisin with 100 grams of heroin, it's going to explode.
What the fuck are you even talking about?
You can't...
We're already over time.
Put this into my brain because it'll explode.
You done?
Yes. Hey, how about the Weirdos of Comedy, man?
Yeah, plug that. Plug that now.
Next,
that's Saturday,
April 12th, Saturday, downtown Grayland, 9 o'clock. Grayland, I'm hosting.
The name is the venue. It's not in a city called Grayland downtown. It's downtown of Youngstown.
Right. At Grayland. Downtown Youngstown at Grayland on Boardman Avenue.
Yeah,
it's on Boardman.
It's right across from the cops.
Yeah, so you'll be safe there. Don't worry. And I'm hosting, and Eric's gonna be there.
I'm gonna be there. Who else is on the lineup?
You're going to be there.
Okay.
AJ's going to be
AJ's
there.
AJ's great.
Joe McCormick.
Joe's good too.
Tim Wolf. So we got a bunch of new guys.
Yeah.
Then there's a bunch of new people doing it this time.
People haven't gone up before?
Yeah. Four or five.
Try to put the... Oh, Jesus.
Yeah.
Try to lump them in the middle, I guess. I don't know how to tell you how to book your show.
We're mixing them in.
You can't lump that many in the middle. I guess spread them out and put good people between them. Oh, that's rough. Four or five new people?
It's going to be fun, dude.
All right.
You know how fun it is.
That's interesting.
It is.
What am I doing? Tomorrow night or tonight, depending on when this goes up, I'll be at Stone Tavern in Kent. I recorded my DVD there at the end of February, the first time being back.
Are you doing comedy tonight?
Well, Stone Tavern? Sometimes this goes up on Monday.
Oh.
Monday, April 7th, I'll be at the Stone Tavern. That usually starts around 8:30.
Is that an open mic thing, or...?
It's like a showcase, I guess, in the sense that he likes to book it beforehand, but you can maybe show up and get time if you want to.
I'm just saying.
Do you want to? I'll tell Savat you're coming out. Me and Tim Wolf's coming with me.
That's cool.
Do you want to do it?
Nah.
Okay.
Not this Monday. It's all right.
I'll
wait till I get better.
And then on April 8th, which is Tuesday, that is doing Redstone in Cleveland. I haven't done that room in a while. That's a fun room.
Why have I heard of that place? Is that big?
It's like one of the bigger mics in Cleveland. That's, again, booked ahead of
Yusuf
time.
Yusuf always goes there, right?
Yusuf's there all the time.
Yeah.
So that's that. Saturday, I'm at Mike's Weirdos thing. Grayland. I advanced in that Funny Farm contest.
Did you?
Yeah.
How did that go?
There was no one there.
Yeah, but like for comic-wise, how many people were in it?
All right. There were eight people.
Who judged?
It's the same.
The people?
Dave Robich, who owns the Funny Farm, Pat, who sort of runs Mojo's,
yeah.
And I think there's someone else.
Who else advanced, or just one person?
Four people advanced. It was me, Joe, Aaron Pearl, and Alan Lee, a comic from Pittsburgh, who was pretty funny. So yeah, that was that. So the semis of that will be May 1st. I'm sure there's other stuff I'm doing that I don't have written down right now. If I could stall and go to my website where I have the list of stuff, that would be great. So if Mike could maybe talk for a minute.
I'd like to apologize to Jay Mills. Sorry, Jay, for not getting back at you. I just wanted to publicly apologize to you. He sent me a message asking me, you know, he'd like a spot in the Shakers Comedy Contest, and I just ignored him. But I thought I responded back to him. He said, you know, hey, can I get a spot? You know, and here, like a dummy, I didn't even respond back to him. I had a really tough week.
Yeah.
And I thought I responded back and said, sure, you know, I'll tell Rick, no problem. Here, he's like, you know, a week later goes by, maybe more, and he's like, I guess that's a no. And I'm like, oh, Jay, I'm sure, sorry. There's
plenty of spots open for that. He'll be fine.
Oh, yeah, yeah. I just want to apologize sincerely because, Jay, I did not blow you off, buddy. I'm sorry.
Okay, these are the shows I forgot. Friday, the day before Weirdos, I'll be at Kapow. That's in Lakewood at Helvetica Juice Bar and Cafe. That's at 8:30. Weirdos, like I said, Mike's show downtown Youngstown is Saturday. Monday, I'll be at another Charcoal Fuck show at Liquid on West 6th Street in Cleveland. I haven't done that one before. That should be good. Shakers, that's the comedy contest that we do in
June.
Yeah.
June 3rd is the first.
And Youngstown starts June 3rd, runs all the way to August 12th. That is a, it's going to be a 10-week contest.
Balls to the wall all summer, baby.
Yeah.
Laughing, smiling in summertime.
So I don't know how many comics that is. I think it's...
shitloads.
8 times 6.
64, I think.
No, can't possibly be that many.
48.
48. 8 times 6? I'm not good at math. Yeah, there's a bunch of fucking people.
I would like to challenge you in multiplication tables. I'm really good at that.
No, you'd be better. That's not my forte.
Neither is mine. Only multiplication.
Yeah, so that's what I'm doing. If you want to perform at the Shakers contest, you're a comedian, get a hold of me, Mike, or my father, Rick Cribbley, on the Facebook.
Yep.
I'm on Facebook, you know, whatever. So is everyone. Facebook, Twitter.
I only go on Twitter and Instagram when I'm on the toilet. I don't even use them anymore.
Good to know.
So if I've been blowing you off on Twitter, I'm sorry. I don't know if you've been trying to get a hold of me.
I know. I don't. I never try to get a hold of you, as a matter of fact.
Because you really don't even respond when I call or text.
No, I don't.
Why don't you do that?
I just don't. I'm not a social person.
Well, what if I had an emergency?
Then, right, it's an emergency. But don't write it and then have it not be an emergency, because I'll ignore you more.
That's a good idea.
Not a good idea.
I'll just say, Eric, it's an emergency. It's not,
because people have done that to me before.
If that's how I can get you to talk.
People have done that to me before. And
all right, I won't abuse it. Okay? I just like to check in every day.
All right, that's fine. This is the show. This has been Fax, faxpodcast.com, Facebook, Twitter, blah, blah, blah. You can find me and Mike. We do stuff. If you heard anything incorrect, send that to factspodcastcorrections@gmail.com. That's the email. Please, corrections, if you want to share some facts, don't waste our time with horse shit, and don't use a nickname. Use a real name or an alias. No dumb nicknames. No Kronos Master or Master Cheddar. A Kronos Master Cheddar, which I didn't put together until just now. So, yeah. That's the show, everyone. I hope you enjoyed facts. Take it away, Mike.
You know, everything was made somehow, some way.
What does that mean?
I mean,
don't talk about creationism in the ending message.
Oh, I'm not. I'm not.
Okay.
It's actually, this is about life.
Oh, perfect.
And not only should you value each other and treat others as you want to be treated, but let's do something we never normally do or think about. My buddy Eric saved a cat. Let's do something good for an animal this week or something. Something you never did before. How about, even if it's just giving a couple bucks to a charity or something you see at a Burger King can or something and it says, donate to help save a dog. Give it a shot. You know why? Animals are God's creatures too. Alright, I'm sorry. We could just agree that animals are here on Earth just like us. It's their Earth. So let's treat them nice, just like each other. And get out there, give a kiss to a fellow human, give a kiss to a fellow puppy or kitten or even a frog or a toad, and have a good day. And most importantly, use your brain.